Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Good morning, all.
Such silliness,
boyish. Has anybody seen his interactions with the Dalai Lama on video? They like tease each other and tickle each other, and it's just the most beautiful thing. That makes me feel a lot better about my own extremely juvenile sense of humor. Tutu is also a very humble man. At his funeral yesterday, he was carried in a very simple pine casket. Of course, he was a moral exemplar, and to use a phrase of his own, he was a God-carrier. Now, Desmond Tutu not only helped people, he helped people want to be better. The Reverend Bernice King, one of the daughters of Martin Luther King Jr., said that we are all better because Desmond Tutu is here. His life is focused on what matters, and can likewise help us focus on what really matters. He was a saint who can help us to see that the only thing really worth living for is sanctity, holiness. And I think this has a lot to do with why we are drawn to people like this, why we love people like this. He was a fulfillment of this morning's opening prayer, of the wonderfully restored human dignity brought about in the birth of Christ. So, if we so love and are so inspired by people like this, if we want to be more like them, why do they seem rare? Why does it seem hard for so many of us to fully give ourselves over to such holy simplicity? And how did Desmond Tutu manage it? Well, I've learned that Desmond Tutu was a lot like Jesus in today's gospel. In it, of course, we just heard about the 12-year-old Jesus going to Jerusalem with his family for the Passover, and then staying behind in the temple while his family returns, unbeknownst to them. We should cut them some slack, because in those days, apparently up to 50,000 pilgrims would descend on Jerusalem for the Passover. So think about like Home Alone times 4,000 or something. It'd be easy to miss somebody in the crowd. Jesus very clearly was at home in the temple, despite his family's anxieties. He desired to be there. In the words of Psalm 84, which we recited just a little bit earlier, "How dear to me is your dwelling, O Lord. My soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. My heart rejoices in the living God." Now, this is the very first story we get in Luke's gospel of Jesus' life after infancy. And of course, we find it in the temple, at prayer. And this prefigures the centrality of prayer in his adult life that we read about later in the Gospels. So although Jesus, of course, lived this very active life of service, prayer was an anchor. And Desmond Tutu was the same way. Andrew McGowan, who was my seminary dean, as well as Brandon and Jesse's, used to preach to a small group of nuns for a weekday mass back when they lived in Australia. Now, I had known about this from my time in seminary, he mentioned it at some point, but what I did not know until this week is that small group of nuns that he was preaching to frequently had a certain guest, and I'll let you guess who it was, Desmond Tutu. And he was there because of his deep devotion to the Eucharist. Now, according to Andrew McGowan, Tutu's life story, you know, who he was, everything that he did, everything that he's loved and will be remembered for, cannot really be understood apart from the sacramental basis upon which he was founded. Indeed, he went to church and received communion last week on Christmas Day, the day before he died, despite his failing health. Now, when Jesus' parents find him in the temple, he says to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" This can also be translated, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" This speaks to me of the temporal connection between prayer and service, between contemplation and action. Desmond Tutu's faith took him to the forefront of the struggle for liberation and justice and injustice in South Africa and beyond, but it started and always returned to prayer. From prayer and spiritual practice and devotion, we receive, in the words of Paul's letter to the Ephesians that we heard a bit of today, we receive a spirit of wisdom. We come to know God. The eyes of our hearts become enlightened. Or to use a beautiful imagery from reading from Jeremiah we heard, we become like a water garden. Through prayer, we can gain an inner freedom from the many directions our hearts and lives and our world seem to pull us in. I quoted a prayer by Leonard Cohen earlier that says the world is all forgetting. The world is all forgetting and the heart is a range of directions. Now this prayer continues, but your name unifies the heart, and the world is lifted into its place. Blessed is the one who waits in the traveler's heart for his turn. So, if you will allow it, a gentle suggestion for a New Year's resolution. Resolve to cultivate a deeper life of prayer, of spiritual practice and devotion, of coming to church more regularly, you know, if it's safe and advisable for you right now. And if you already come to church regularly, to come with renewed commitment and attentiveness and expectation of what all this can be about. Because, of course, it's good to change habits and behaviors, but it's at least as important to work from the inside out. So why not think really big? God is life, and so to be really connected to God is to be connected to life. Of course, that's what we're looking for with New Year's resolutions, a more full life. Now, one of Desmond Tutu's favorite prayers was this, the one I opened the sermon with. He preferred the Elizabethan language of the 1662 prayer book. It goes, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful people, and kindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth." And this speaks so much of what I hope to convey this morning. Because when the Spirit of God fills our hearts, God's love is kindled within us, and we are sent forth in the power of that Spirit to renew the face of the earth. But to be filled with the Spirit in this way, we really have to make time and space in our lives. Just as athletes need physical conditioning, so do we, the people of God, need spiritual conditioning. So, may the knowledge and love of God and of all God's saints, particularly Desmond Tutu on this day, draw us toward the light and keep us strong, good, kind, and loving at the beginning of this new year and at all times. Amen.